If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. Now, this is the same scripture that I've been reading the past 2 weeks, and I had mentioned I wasn't sure if I was going to preach a couple of more on these, but I feel led that today we'll end this sermon series on deception from the deceiver. And we'll look at Matthew chapter 4, and I'll bring in some other scripture as well in the message this morning. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. If this sounds a little loud today, I think we're trying to work on it coming through the video equipment that we have started. Let me know after the service. After the service. So, polls have been done on a number of things. There's a number of Christians who don't even believe that there is a heaven. It's a smaller number. But can you imagine that a person who professes Christ and does not believe there's a heaven? What scripture are they reading? I mean, it is clear and evident to me, if you read the scriptures, that God has gone and prepared a place for us. If it were not so, if it were not true, he would not have told us. But he has told us. And then there's even greater those that will say that they don't believe in hell. I don't get that either. Because there is a punishment for the sins of the people. If you reject Christ in this life, then there is condemnation already upon you. We cannot be good enough to save ourselves, to enter into the holiness of holies, which is heaven, the presence of God. God doesn't want anyone to enter into hell, though, does he? Therefore, he has given us a way of being saved, and that is through Christ Jesus. That's how much God loves you and me. Now, the deceiver wants us to believe that he doesn't even exist. Some people will even say that this was just Jesus this is just a story, and a story in the sense that it's like a fable, trying to tell something bigger. No, this is a happening. This is historical. Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist, and afterwards, after God says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," Jesus, who allowed in that moment to be baptized, even though he had no sin, he was in essence saying, "I have placed the sins of all of humankind on my shoulder." And that's where he was offering the repentance of sin for all of humankind to those that would receive. He immediately goes into the desert, and after 40 days is when Satan appears to test him, to tempt him, to deceive even the Son of God. Because if he can get Jesus just to fail one little time, just once, it destroys his being the Savior of the world. Just one sin. How many of us can go through this day without one sin? If we say we haven't sinned in this day, then we probably missed, that's probably a sin in itself of denial. Jesus was perfect. Not one sin, not one thing that took him away from the devotion of God. And therefore, we need to trust in him who is perfect and without sin to be the one who cleanses us of all sin. But Jesus confronted Satan. Satan confronted Jesus. It wasn't something in his head. It wasn't something made up. This is the powers and principalities in play. And the hopes of Satan was to destroy Jesus, and thereby destroying and devouring us, devouring our church, devouring the church, devouring families, devouring you, devouring a community, in this very community, to not even know and hear the word of God, because he wants the church gone. But you and I are not going to stand for that, are we? We're going to know that Satan seeks to devour and deceive and offer deception to the church and to our families and to the world. And we are going to follow Christ Jesus, because it is the only way. It is the right way. It is the way of salvation to a lost and hurting world. It is said that when Muslims have dreams or near-death experiences, that they come back saying they have seen Jesus, that Jesus has presented himself to them. They don't come back saying Muhammad presented himself to them. They don't come back saying that some other religion, Buddha, or some other, you know, God has done so. When they have referred to Muhammad, it has been cold and dark and fearful. And then they'll see Jesus, and they have the opportunity to call unto Jesus to be saved. And those that are reported back are the ones who have said and called upon the name of Jesus. And they indeed were saved. And they said they went from the most hopeless pit, the most hopeless that nothing in this world has even existed like it, to feel the depth of that hopelessness, to seeing Jesus and knowing that just calling out to him gave them complete hope and joy and peace. This is what is happening in Persia today. This is what is happening. Jesus is presenting himself to those who are lost in the Muslim faith, so that they can receive Jesus Christ. And Satan wants them devoured. Satan wants them to believe that Jesus is not risen from the grave, just as he wants you and me to not believe that Jesus is risen from the grave and to let doubt enter in. But Jesus is with power. You see, Satan here has no power. He has no power except to deceive, except to lie, except to tempt us away from a faith in Jesus Christ. I once visited a home many years ago in my ministry. And this is a church that in this very instant poured out themselves as Christ's hand. The home that I had come to find out was one of those homes that the trash was this high in the house. There were pathways that you could walk through to get to certain areas of the house. Some not as bad. Maybe the trash was just this high. The sink was just filled with filth and dirty dishes. The bathroom upstairs had feces that had been wiped on the sides. And there were brand new clothes because this church came and helped clean it out, paint it, fix it up, and get it back to where they didn't feel overwhelmed. And listen, I know they were embarrassed for me to come by. They didn't want me to. But we did so in a kind, gentle way. There were brand new things that were under piles. Brand new. That were destroyed because they couldn't get around. They were so overwhelmed by the weight of the filth that was around them. They didn't know how to even begin. That's what happens with someone that's being deceived by Satan, except for not the physical filth, but the spiritual filth that's in our lives. And we feel so overwhelmed that we don't feel that Jesus can forgive us of our sin. And we stay trapped in that. You see, Jesus gives us answers to all the deception that Satan has. The deception that was placed upon Jesus. Just turn that that stone into bread. Man shall live only by the word of God. Say it when you're being deceived. Say it when you don't know a way out. Man shall live by the word of God alone. He also gives us answer when he tells the woman that is caught in adultery, and he says, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" As the King James Version would put it, "Where are thine accusers?" They'd all gone away because Jesus had said, "If you're the without sin, you cast the first stone." But the one by one, they dropped the stones they were about to hurl and destroy this woman. They were about to throw these stones, and one by one they knew of their guilt of sin and they walked away. But there was still Jesus there. He was the one without sin. And what does he say? "Where are your accusers? There's none here. Neither do I accuse you." The one who could accuse doesn't accuse, doesn't condemn, but says, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Gave her a way to know that she was forgiven by the one who had no sin and says to us and to her, go and sin no more. Are we going to sin? Yes. But still, there is upon us that he has forgiven us and that we are to attempt and try and try our best to not sin. But know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus when we do, that he stands not to condemn us, but to forgive us. Jesus also says to Satan, Jesus said to him, to Satan, who's invited him to bow down and worship him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan, who has no power, has invited the one who is the creator of all the universe. Satan has not formed one grain of sand from nothing. He has not formed even one grain of sand. And he thinks he can cause Jesus himself, who has fashioned everything, to bow down before him. And he wants to convince you to do the same and to be distracted by the world's affairs and the world's things and the lust of the world to convince you otherwise that you should bow down and worship Satan. But we know better. We know better. And Jesus just says, and he gives us the way of basically saying, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm not following you. I'm following the one who has power over sin and death. I'm following the one who has power to forgive me and right my broken relationship. I'm following the one who was dead and in the tomb and is risen and will come again. That's real power. That's real love. That's real grace and mercy. And we are to follow him and not listen to the one who is the deceiver. There are two people in the Bible that gives us a contrast of one who trusts the forgiveness of God in their life and one who does not. It's real evident. It's two of the 12 disciples, Judas and Peter. They both betrayed Jesus. In fact, they all did. They both betrayed Jesus, and it's told to us in Scripture. Judas betrayed Jesus for what? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. That was what he was lusting for. That was what he was desired for, greedy for. That's what he thought he could do better than Jesus could do. And so he wanted to please the leaders of that day. And he betrayed Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was also referring to Judas. Father, forgive him. See, we can't say that Jesus died on the cross for 99.999% of people. He died on the cross even for Judas. He gave him the ability for full forgiveness, if all he would do is receive it. Peter too denied Jesus three times. He even said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows this morning, this coming morning. No, Lord, I'll even go to the death for you, is his response. Yet three times Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Jesus? Jesus who? Oh, I don't know him. I've never been around him. That's denial. That's separation. That's betrayal. And Jesus goes to Peter after the resurrection. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know. Feed my sheep. Do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And what does Peter do? He receives that Jesus has indeed forgiven him. Those three moments, those three conversations in one reminded him that he had forgiven him of his betrayal. What does Judas do? Judas goes out and hangs himself because he does not believe that Jesus can forgive him. Peter hears that Jesus has forgiven him and he receives it rather than thinking, let me stay in this squalor. See, Peter could have done the same thing as Judas. He could have stayed in the squalor and let in his heart the deception from Satan. Oh, you've done too bad. There's no way even Jesus could forgive you. You see, let that fester in you. But Jesus doesn't want it to fester. He wants to say, I can wipe it clean. As white as snow. And all you have to do, all you have to do is trust in him. That's our doing, is just trusting in the accomplishment of Jesus. He's the one that has power. He is the one who can say, I forgive you, and it happens. He is the one that can say, it is my mercy upon you because I choose it, he says. There is power in that. And let us live that out. Not just for ourselves, but let us live that out to others who need mercy, who need grace. It's up to them if they choose it or not. But we are to offer it, aren't we? Just as Jesus has offered it to you and me. That's the love of God. Has God ever diminished the word of God? No. Keep the Sabbath holy? Has God ever said, well, you know, it's okay for you just to keep the Sabbath holy half the time? Honor other gods, say it's a way, all religions point to the other. Has God diminished that? No. I am the Lord your God, and you are to worship him only. That's what Jesus has said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is not diminished ever. And people who have gone that direction and have filled themselves with the filth of this world. There's a podcast out here recently from a progressive who is even far left than a progressive. And one woman is saying on this podcast, it's okay to steal from Whole Foods. I went back in. I'd forgotten the lemons I was supposed to get. And I picked up about five and just walked out with them. And she goes on to say, well, if more people steal from Whole Foods, and there's nothing wrong with it, it'll make them raise their prices. And in doing so, it's kind of punishing the company. That's her reasoning behind it. But did Jesus, the Ten Commandments say, do not steal? Do not steal. He didn't do away with that. But he forgave us when we've done something like that. As long as we approach God with, forgive me, Lord. Let me follow you. 7 times 70. The scriptures say. Well, it doesn't mean multiply 7 times 70, 490 times you can be forgiven. Jesus is pointing that out as infinite. a forever number. Don't be deceived by Satan. Know he's real and trying to deceive you. Step back and look and trust what the Lord is offering you. And trust in his ways. Is it going to make everything perfect and well here? No. Guess what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? He died on the cross, didn't he? For preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He did so believing and trusting that God had forgiven him. That's boldness. That's bravery. That's love. That's following Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the blessings that we have received digging into your word. May your Holy Spirit guide us. May we listen to you and you alone. May we have the ammunition in our hearts to say no to the deceiver, no to his deception, and help lead others in the pathway of Christ Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who has all power, who has all love, and who has forgiven us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.